Welcome to Lead Time Chats, where you can listen in on unscripted conversations between engineering leaders and other influential folks in tech. I'm Jean, and I'll be your host. Lead Time Chats is brought to you by Range. Range helps hybrid teams check in asynchronously about what matters most. Know what's happening through status updates that pull from tools like GitHub and Jira without scheduling yet another meeting. Checking in with Range creates more focused time for heads-down work, all while feeling a deeper sense of connection and belonging with your team. To learn more about Range, you can check it out at range.co. Hi, Katie. Welcome to Lead Time Chats. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jean. It's lovely to be here.
So today, the topic we're going to be talking about is really around mental health and supporting your team during supporting a team and yourself during, you know, a year into the pandemic. And it's been a pretty brutal time, honestly. And it does feel hopeful, like we're a few months out from, you know, widespread vaccines, hopefully. But in terms of like supporting teams and managers with regards to mental health, do you have any tips for like making it through this final stretch, or what I hope to be the final stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do just think that this final stretch has been particularly tough. There's something around coming up to, for many people, a 1 year anniversary of lockdown. And it's just the weather's the same. You put on your hand sanitizer. It's like my life has been pause. It's a very strange experience. And I think a lot of us are experiencing that kind of resurgence of like grief that we had in the early stages of the pandemic when we realized we were losing so much of what makes life meaningful for us.
And then Facebook is like reminding us of that too. I'm like, no, thank you, Facebook.
Facebook and your iPhone gallery memories, you know, and you're like, okay. Exactly. And so I think that's very difficult. I think the grief is very difficult. And then the other interesting thing, which I've experienced myself and I've heard from a couple other people, is almost, now I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but almost like a bit of a Stockholm syndrome with the pandemic, where there's an anxiety or a fear around the pandemic ending and what that means for whether it's going back into an office, going back to a faster pace of life, going back to travel, like 2019, I spent about a third of the year jet lagged. And there's a part of me that has a real anxiety around having to make choices now, where I had a year where so many choices were removed. And for some people, a lack of choice is really challenging, whereas I found it quite soothing in a lot of ways. So it's really interesting how different people are being affected in these different ways. And one of the things that I always quite enjoy with any kind of messy human emotions, mental health conversations is the BICEPS framework. So that's Paloma Medina. We can put it in the show notes. Has this beautiful framework of like the core human needs that we have. And what I would really recommend for managers to do for yourselves first is go through and figure out like of those core needs, and there's belonging, improvement or progress, choice, equality and fairness, predictability, and then significance or status. So of those needs, which is the one that right now is feeling out of whack for you? Is it a sense of improvement or progress? In that case, what can you do about that? Can you sign up to run a half marathon and make some improvement there? Is it a sense of predictability? One of Lara Hogan's newsletters about 2 months ago now was, I'm going to plan out in detail my every day for the rest of December. And then I saw, it reminded me of a tweet I saw 2 days ago from Danielle Morel, who is the founder of Mattermark and now works at GitLab. And she was like, how many people plan out their day in detail? Like how far ahead? And I was like, what?
Like mine was like zero to one. I was like, today?
It's like I plan tomorrow if I'm being really good. Exactly. But she's planning out her days into July. So I mean, something that tells me about her is she cares a lot about predictability. That's something that she's optimizing for. And I think it's very powerful to know, what do you need? Do you need to plan each day until July? If you need that, do it. Give yourself that gift.
Right.
If you need a sense of predictability, that'll help. If you're needing a sense of, I don't know, fairness, you know, or equality, well, what's a way that you can give yourself that?
And I like that, because it doesn't all have to come from your work or from your home, right? You can kind of, it's not specific. And so if you're like, I need predictability, I'm not getting that through work, maybe I can
Like, I mean, one thing I do is I go to the grocery store every Wednesday, and it's like something I didn't do before, but like, it's been a nice predictable routine this past year. That has nothing to do with my work.
It has nothing to do with work. Exactly. And that's the thing where we're being so affected by something that isn't work. It's a pandemic. We're all in this, but what can we do in various areas of our lives to help us cope in the final stretch? And I think the final stretch of anything is difficult, you know, whether that's the final stretch of a long illness when you're recovering, the pandemic. If you've ever done I've never done a marathon. So in case you're not thinking I'm a runner because of two marathon marathons, I'm not. But, you know, they say, you know, the last couple stretch, miles are the hardest. And I think there's also something about, you know, once you get into that hopeful state of anticipation, there's vaccines rolling out. Yeah. Hope can be a difficult emotion. You know, it can be difficult to sit with a sense of anticipation, a sense of hope. You know, I watched a Star Trek episode where somebody had been trapped on a planet for 7 years. And the quote was, well, hope is the enemy. Once you give up all hope and just embrace your situation, it's easier to deal with. It's a very stoic philosophy idea. And for a lot of us, that might have been how we've been getting through the pandemic. Like, this is the new normal. Let's just get through this. And now that the end is in sight, every additional day can feel really intolerable, can feel a lot more difficult. So,
right. Especially as, I mean, here the weather is getting nicer. It feels like, oh, we might have a normal summer. And so you kind of let yourself hope and think about what might be in a few months. And yeah, I've personally found that I've just been like, okay, whatever I need to do to get through the last few months. But because I framed it as the last few months, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get that pastry box and I'm going to just like have chocolate babka for breakfast because, you know, we're so close. But then obviously those are not healthy choices that I'm making. And so I don't physically feel good. And then it's creating this like harmful loop that now I'm like, okay, I probably should exercise and not, you know, just gorge on pastry.
I mean, Jean, I had a donut for breakfast. So just you feel better.
I don't think I even ate breakfast. It just made it even worse. Yeah. So.
That's funny. But exactly. That's like, you know, it's the last little stretch, but you know, you need to make sure it's sustainable for yourself. Like what are the self-care routines that you've developed as an individual over time? Now is the time to like really have those strong. If you have a meditation practice, you know, keep it going now. You know, exercise is something that there's a lot of research. It's very helpful. And I know that, you know, a lot of you also probably thinking, how do we help our teams? I was just thinking around, you know, another quarter of OKR planning and quarterly planning and, you know, reviews and all that coming up and just how draining it is to do this remotely, even for a team that's always been remote. We're used to doing a lot of things remotely, but we've never gone so long without being together in person. Usually we have about 6 months. We're in person every 6 months maximum. And then kind of like once a quarter, you're trying to do a more strategic thing and it's all over Zoom, but it's not that often, you know, you have opportunity for alignment. So it is difficult. I just want people to know that if this is hard for you, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
But some of the things you can do there to make it a little bit easier, there's been this growing popularity of audio only calls. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think there's a balance between seeing faces and wanting that human contact and then the sort of like screen fatigue and Zoom fatigue. So I wouldn't say, you know, just transition all your Zooms to audio only and then you never see any faces. I think that can be challenging, but it is something where you're a lot less like tethered to looking at a screen. It's very tiring and intense to stare at somebody's face and close up.
And especially one-on-one, right? Like if it's a team meeting where you can kind of look around and don't have to feel so like on and presentable. It's a bit relieving.
Exactly. Whereas one-on-ones and for managers, you're, you know, presumably doing quite a few one-on-ones.
Yeah.
That's something that you absolutely can suggest going audio only and allowing somebody like they can lie down if they'd like to. Like I've never actually done this, but why not? You know, like I can lie on the couch and talk to you one-to-one, you know, like maybe you make notes every now and then, but like, you don't have to be kind of like in your laptop. You could go for a walking meeting. If that's something that you're able to do, that's an option.
I've done most of my one-on-ones are on the phone. And so I'll go for a walk if it's nice out and it's just been, I mean, it's been really, really nice to, unless we have to screen share or something, but usually we'll just check in right before and default to phone. So that's definitely been a relief, but I can totally see like on a Zoom meeting, you know, it is it is weird to see like half the squares, like if you're like talking to a room and like all the squares have no faces, it's a bit tricky. Like, so finding the right balance and what meetings are good for that.
Yeah. And different companies have different cultural norms around that. Like at Buffer, it's very, very unusual to turn off video, whereas there are other companies where that's sort of the default. And that might be that we're very used to remote working. So everybody is quite comfortable having their background in the camera. Other people, it might be different. Your company is not used to working from home. People don't necessarily want their personal life kind of revealed in the background of the video call. There's all these dynamics. But
yeah, we default to video. Yeah. We default to video on and actually mics on too, because you kind of get that like, you know, or the laughter or just those reactions, whereas like, it's hard to unmute just to laugh, right? Like that's kind of a weird, like a weird thing to train yourself to do. But I think one of the funny things that's happened is people have started like turning their camera off. If they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get to eat lunch, I'm just going to turn my camera off and eat. I'm like, I'm just going to eat in front of you.
You know, I think that that's an important thing to normalize. Like, you know, if you're going to be in a lot of video calls, like you're going to need to get a snack. You're going to need to eat something.
Like if we were in a room together, you'd watch me eat. Like here we are.
You would be having some lunch, you know, and that's kind of normal. Yeah. So
I think the biceps framework is super useful, both for, you know, assessing what you need and then having a conversation with other people, because as you said, like someone may need way more predictability than you yourself need. So as a manager, that can help help you determine like how best to support people. I think one thing that is challenging is like, how do you, I mean, especially as a manager, you know, you're there to support your team, but how do you do that? Or do you have any other tips for like how to do that if you yourself are struggling?
Yeah, that is a really good point. And it's difficult as a manager to be always on and be in a leadership position. I think that takes a very heavy toll. The first thing I would say is really get a therapist, you know, like if you can at all figure out a way to do that, I really recommend it. Not just because, you know, if you might necessarily be super struggling, we all have things to work through, but it's really important for somebody whose job is emotional labor that you do in fact have support that's appropriate. You want to avoid two extremes. The first is where you know, kind of come across as like very robotic, you're just not going to go into any emotions, you're going to keep everything very like, here's the status update. That can be a little bit hard to relate to. I imagine if you're listening to this podcast, that's probably not your style. But you also want to avoid the other extreme where you as a manager are struggling, your direct reports are picking up on that, and so they are providing emotional labor to you. It is not their job to support you, it is your job to support them. But that means you need to be getting that support somewhere else. You can't just deny that you're a human being and you might have struggles. So I do think that's quite an important one. The other one would be, do you have peer support that you can lean on? So in a company, this is where your EM first team, if you have other EMs, is a really critical group to get together. And, you know, if you need somebody to mastermind with, to vent, to just hear you struggle, to complain to, that group should be a group that you are having strong relationships and that you can get that emotional support from. Like that would be appropriate. And
what about external groups? If like say you don't feel like you have that internally at a company.
Exactly. And absolutely. And this is something that I think is always true for managers, but having that kind of external peer network, whether that's, you know, Slack groups, I'm part of a couple for engineering management. One's called the Engineering Manager Slack. There's also the RANS Leadership Slack. There's various subtopics within there. But something that I've been doing is I've found other VP engineering leaders, specifically women, and on Twitter. And I've just been DMing them and say, hey, it's the pandemic. I'm kind of lonely. Leadership is tough right now. Like, do you want to have a friendly social Zoom? Like two complete strangers. And you won't believe the lovely interactions I've had. I've made friends with someone I was on a panel with. Like you just need to get over the awkwardness and kind of embrace it's super weird. We're in a pandemic. Nobody really has the level of social contact normally do. I mean, I'm not normally the kind of person who's like, I have tons of friends, like, you know, but even now during a pandemic, I think that's something that you absolutely can do. And specifically, if you're finding yourself feeling very isolated or very overwhelmed or anxious, social contact can really help with that kind of anxiety related to the pandemic.
Yeah, I love that. I've also felt similarly where I'm like reaching out to people for these chats and just like reconnecting with people. I'm like, what does that mean when like all my friends are like my partner will be like, where did you meet this person? I'm like, on Twitter?
They're an internet friend. Yeah.
Internet friends, right? Like that's how I make friends now.
Yes.
Either people who live on my block or internet friends. There's like no in between.
Yeah, there's no in between. You either right here or like no idea where physically, you know, the person.
Right.
Yeah.
What about, so I think mental health can be a somewhat sensitive topic. And I think biceps is a way to get at that in a very thoughtful way that's not like invasive, right? Like, hey, how's how are you doing with your mental health? Like, it seems like you may be struggling, right? Like, what are some other ways that you can check in with your team or know that you're available to them without feeling like it's you're being invasive of their, you know, things they don't want to share?
That's a good question. And like different people are going to have different tolerances for sharing, from not at all to like, you know, hugely sharing everything. One sort of very lightweight way is the traffic light color check-in, where you can ask somebody, how are you, you know, on a scale of like green, yellow, orange, red. And the explanation is completely optional. So they can say, oh, I'm feeling green, or I'm feeling a little bit, you know, orange, or, you know, I'm feeling red, a bit of a tough day. So that's one very lightweight way to check in. Talking about the biceps framework is another way. If you suspect that somebody is really struggling with their mental health and something seems really off, and you're wanting to check in, not just in a how are you doing sense, but like, I can tell something is not usual, like something is not right. Depending on the relationship, you can either kind of say, well, you know, how are you, in that kind of like, not how are you, but like, how
really
are you,
right?
You know, really listen and like lean in. That's one way. There's also the option of saying like, hey, I noticed that you seemed a little bit off lately with these things. And that's a very work appropriate way if you are noticing actual signals. You know, I noticed that you were very quiet in the meeting, or I noticed that you're, you know, you seem a little bit more, you know, behind on a couple notifications and things than you usually are. And it's not a problem. I'm not, unless it is, but if it's just something you're noticing, I'm just wondering what's going on for you right
what's
now.
What's going
you
know, on?
Like
yeah.
If you wanted to talk about that, that would still be very much within the sort of like manager purview. You know, that's a normal part of the job to check in with.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the we definitely do the stoplight check-ins. We do that for people to check in on range, and so you can see it. Oh, it follows you like throughout the day in your meetings and stuff, which is really nice because then people can see like, oh, this person's red, like, you know, they didn't sleep well, or maybe I didn't ask them exactly, but I know that they're struggling today. So like, I'm going to kind of take that into account in my interactions with them. But that also does assume a level of comfort and safety on the team, right? Like, I'm on this Moms in Tech Facebook group, and someone shared this, like, you know, sharing on a mood elevator where you are. And some of the responses were like, yeah, there's no way I would tell anyone at work, like, how fragile my mental state is right now. Like, they don't feel safe sharing that at work. And so, but I think that is true, and you can still give people the opportunity to, right? If you see someone who's always green and then suddenly they're yellow, like, that may be a red for you if you feel like, oh, I kind of use the full range, right?
Most people don't actually use the full range in what I'm noticing. Yeah. Like, at Buffer, we have, you know, we have theoretically there's green, there's yellow, there's red. But what we see is a lot of green, and then we see a lot of yellow green.
Or
people
will
be like
yellow,
light green or lime green. Yeah. And I mean, just, you know, in your mind, just be like, cool, yellow. If someone says yellow, make it orange. You know, just downgrade them by one. It's like how doctors ask people, like, and how much do you drink? And the person, they add like 5 units on, like, always.
Right. Yeah. Like, yellow trending green means like, you know, they're kind of closer
orange
to green.
Trending yellow,
But like, yellow solid is like more closer to red, maybe, for that calibration.
Maybe. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, some people, their way of coping is just, I'm not going to reveal my fragility. I am going to like power through. And you know, like, if somebody chooses to cope in that way, that's okay. Your job as a manager here is to hold space for those that need it and to offer support where it's helpful. If somebody doesn't want that support, you can't make them. You can't, you know, force a conversation. The exception would be if you're really seeing it come through in their work, if it's whether it's their interactions with colleagues or it's the actual, you know, work output. If it's, and of course, output and productivity is a separate conversation, but I'm sure we're all now readjusted to what's realistic. That's where you can have the conversation, but some people just aren't going to feel safe to share that. There's a lot on how to build psychological safety on a team. So you can just Google psychological safety. Also, if you're listening to this podcast, you could always say you listen to this podcast and like anyone want to discuss it. Like that's something that would be a very, you know, light lift sort of thing. This podcast is interesting. Mental health in the pandemic.
Yeah, like, refer to this other thing.
No particular reason. Not about you at all. I just heard the podcast, you know. Like my sister sent me a podcast on perfectionism and I was like, that's very interesting. I don't know why you sent it to me. Turns out I'm a perfectionist. I'm still struggling with this, with this knowledge.
She just listened to a podcast and, you know,
listened to wanted to podcast share. And heard thought of you, share. You know.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you, Katie. I think there's a lot of like concrete tips and ways to start conversations if people don't feel comfortable doing that. And then also the biceps framework, which I'm definitely going to go take a look at for myself as well.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Yeah, and thank you so much. And if you did listen to the show and you do want to connect with an internet friend, I am at Go Katie Wild on Twitter. And I'm very, very happy to do that. I really do enjoy making friends on the internet.
Cool. Thanks, Katie.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Jean.
Thanks for listening to Lead Time Chats. If you'd like to connect, share, and grow with other engineering leaders, join us at leadtime.range.co. Lead Time Community is a space for engineering leaders who aspire to create better working environments for their teams. Hope to see you there.